It's Thursday, and that's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. And Daniel, it seems the two phrases for us to consider this week are status quo and collateral damage.
Well, yeah, the bankruptcy of Detroit is starting to get closer to an inflection point, I think. And this week we've been treated to pension funds and unions and their lawyers arguing before Judge Stephen Rhodes why the bankruptcy should be thrown out and he shouldn't allow the case to go ahead. In part, they're pointing to the state constitutional protections of pension benefits, but also arguing, I think, that the city and the state behind them did not bargain in good faith before they took the city into bankruptcy.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't think you'd find anyone arguing the fact that this is really going to hurt. I think most people would say, so what? For the insurers and the banks and the creditors, but the everyday city workers and those pensioners who really had no part in this disaster are really going to get hurt.
Well, I think, unfortunately, that is true. I think it remains to be seen if this does go ahead, if the judge does certify and allow it to go, declare Detroit eligible. It remains to be seen how hurt. I mean, I think that's really going to be up to the plan and the negotiations within the court proceeding. But I don't think there's any question, but some measure of that is going to happen to people. And I think it's important for people to understand a couple things. One is, unlike in the private sector, there is no government agency that backstops a municipality in the case of a bankruptcy like this and essentially protects the pensions of public sector pensioners. The protection is the taxpayer in the public sector and the assumption that the taxes can be raised if necessary to meet those obligations. I mean, in a city of like Detroit, where you've got the largest and highest tax rates in the state, and a lot of evidence that raising taxes does nothing but push people out of the city, it likely would make this a bad situation even worse. So you then have to come back to this and say, well, what are we going to do and how is this going to be managed? And I think that's a very difficult question that nobody has the answer to. Obviously, people are really focused on Kevin Orr and Governor Rick Snyder and their role in all of this and pointing the fingers at them. Less so are they pointing the fingers at the people who manage these pension funds, the pension boards who frittered away an awful lot of money, or the elected officials who did not make the required pension contributions to the pension funds.
And this week we got Mayor Dave Bing complaining that he and his department heads are being shut out of decision-making by Kevin Orr, according to the mayor, contrary to what Orr promised him when this all began. And to that you say?
I say it's not very surprising that the mayor is complaining about it, but it's not exactly like his administration was a model of efficiency. I mean, he had a very difficult time keeping a management team together over his 4 or 5 years in office. I think that's demonstrably true. Mm-hmm. And they didn't make a lot of headway in terms of improving services. So it's convenient for the mayor to take shots at Kevin Orr, and I'm not suggesting that the mayor is 100% wrong. In fact, there a lot of people that are concerned that one of the weaknesses that Kevin has is that he doesn't have operational experience, that his strength is in the financial restructuring and the balance sheet restructuring of the city, and that's probably true. So I think that raises some questions about what happens after this election and when the new mayor comes in. Is it going to be someone who can manage and focus on managing the operations of the city? And if so, would Kevin Orr allow that person to do that?
You, in your piece in the Detroit News, Status Quo Won't Survive Bankruptcy, you count the ways the status quo has failed in Detroit, such as?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start?
Where do you begin?
I mean, it couldn't operate a world class museum in the DIA, so it outsourced it to outsourced the management to someone else. Couldn't maintain Belle Isle. Couldn't make the contributions to the pension funds as we discussed. Couldn't manage its own books, cash flow, its departments, and the list goes on and on and on. So when people say we want you to kick this bankruptcy out of court, Judge, we can fix it ourselves. My response is, based on what? Where is the evidence that the city was making headway on some of these very intractable issues prior to at least the consent agreement with the state treasury department? And I think the answer to that, as most listeners would know, is they basically weren't able to do it. They were politically paralyzed.
And here we are, 3 months after the bankruptcy filing. Are you surprised there are still so many voices strongly calling for this to be thrown out and, you know, let's get back to the way we were doing things?
No, I think they have to do it. I mean, I think they're obligated, the pension funds, the unions are obligated to do this. This is, to borrow a military analogy, this is a Waterloo potentially for them. And not only here in Detroit, but for their counterparts around the country in other distressed cities. You got to believe that there are cities around the country that have not done this, that are looking to see how this is going to play out in Detroit and what kind of precedent it will set, because this is by far the largest case of its kind in American history.
Final thoughts of yours on Detroit City Council saying no thank you to the state. Here's our plan. Belle Isle.
I'm not surprised that they would do that. I had some off-record conversations with some members, and I think they're trying to be sober and thoughtful and saying, okay, we have some issues here, but we recognize that we have to provide an alternative. So they did provide an alternative, and I think they deserve some credit for that. The city council, the previous city council that kicked it out the first time, wouldn't offer an alternative except one that was pie in the sky. I think they're trying to be more realistic here and trying to do their jobs the best that they can. But I'm not surprised. And one of them told me, he said, you know, there are some things in that agreement that just don't hold water and they're not very responsible. And so we're gonna put another version forward. And I think that's fine.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes, our Thursday check-in. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.